Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, and greetings to all of you along Florida's Space Coast, and to those of you who are listening, hearing us on our streaming audio at WMMBAM.com. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the February 13th edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, for the next hour, if my voice holds up, I've been fighting a cold all week. We're going to talk to you about the future of NASA, about our nation's space exploration plans, and what all of this might mean to the Kennedy Space Center and Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. We've had a couple of weeks since President Obama released his budget proposal that gave NASA its new direction, and I think the knee-jerk reactions have been heard. We're starting to hear some of the more thoughtful opinions, I think, are beginning to surface. But that's not to say that any of them are right or particularly insightful. In fact, I think there are still many questions remaining. Emotions continue to run high on this topic, and rightfully so. And today I want to deal with some of those questions and frankly, some of those emotions. So during the first half of the program today, we're going to attempt to take an objective look at what's been proposed and what some of the criticisms are. And then in the second half, we're going to get reaction from our representatives in Washington and try to get a sense of what Congress may do with the president's proposal, and try to find out when we might see some actual decisions get made. So if there was ever a good time to call in and participate in the discussion, today is your day. I'm ready to take any question you have, and I'll tell you what I know or what I think, and you'll have direct access in the second half of the program to Congresswoman Cosmos and Congressman Posey, who will take turns again in the second half of the program. How do you get a hold of us? Well, as usual, you can reach us by calling 321-768-1240 from anywhere in the nation. Star 1240 is the number for local AT&T wireless customers. And if you're listening to us online or just would prefer to send us email, you can do so. Send us your questions or comments to spacetalking@AOL.com. And we already have at least two emails showing up here in the last couple of minutes. So we'll get to those questions with our lawmakers later on in the program. Before we get into it, I do want to just bring up a couple of quick things that I really want you to be aware of. First, of course, is that Endeavour remains docked to the International Space Station. They successfully docked after the launch earlier this week. The Tranquility node has been moved from Endeavour's cargo bay and attached to the station. The crew, in fact, have already entered the Tranquility node and begun to move some supplies and hardware inside. It was hooked up by robot arm and with the help of the first of three planned spacewalks. So that's all done. A second spacewalk scheduled for tonight. There have only been a couple of unexpected problems, a couple of little glitches up there, one involving the spacesuit, one involving some hardware inside Tranquility. And none of it showstoppers, but something to talk about anyway. And again, nothing too serious, just some things that they're having to deal with. Secondly, we got the news late last night. I want to send out public congratulations to Delaware North Company's Parks and Resorts, for winning the contract to operate the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex for NASA. They have been doing so for the past 10 years, and this new contract extends Delaware North's management of the property for another 10 years. I do think they've done a great job out there, and I know they will continue to do so, and look forward, and by the end of this next 10 years, we will have a retired space shuttle orbiter on display there, hopefully very soon, but maybe not soon enough, or maybe longer than should we. Maybe we should be waiting longer than we are. I don't know. Okay, well, let's take a look at this. It's been a couple of weeks since the news came out about NASA's budget for next year, the plans that President Obama has for our space agency. And I want to run down just a couple of things in no particular order and give you a few of my perceptions anyway. Let's see if they match up with yours. First of all, you know, there's been some good and some bad in this. I mean, NASA is going to get a nice bump in its budget to $19 billion this year, talking about a total of about $100 billion to be spent on NASA over the next 5 years. That's great. We've been asking for this kind of a budget increase for years, something beyond the marginal cost of living and something beyond even a flat growth when you take away inflation, something that says, you know, that this is worth more to our nation than less than 0.5% of the federal budget. You know, the Augustine Commission said that we needed to spend about $3 billion more a year to sustain our space exploration. And, well, that money's not there. But we look at what NASA's spending, you know, let's just say $19 billion during the next year. Think about this. You know, the stimulus funding package, which we're not necessarily for, at least in this, in my opinion, but it has $500 billion left. $500 billion left. We could use three or four of that, couldn't we? Consider this. You know, we make choices as a nation. We make choices as to where we want to spend our money. And we make choices not only with what the government takes from us and chooses for us to spend it on, but we make choices of our own free will what we're going to spend our money on. And so consider this. There are enough people in this nation that do this and spend $64 billion every year on illegal drugs. Now, this is not a commentary necessarily on illegal drugs so much as it's saying that there's a segment of our society that's willing to spend $64 billion on this hazardous and harmful way of life, and we're just trying to get by and do great things in space for a third of that. It's crazy. The other number I saw, $89 billion on smoking and drinking. Well, I like to have a nice glass of wine every once in a while, and in a great, great while, a cigar isn't so bad for me, but $89 billion we spend every year on this. And is that bad or good? Well, okay, it's just a choice we've made. But tell me that investing in the future isn't worth more than $19 billion when we spend $89 on smoking and drinking. And now the kicker. Okay, I like scratching off a lottery ticket as much as the next guy. The dream is always there, right? Well, we spend in this nation $587 billion a year on gambling in all of its various forms. Now, I'm not saying to wipe out the gambling industry and spend all that money in space. It's always about choosing priorities and balancing the money we have. I'm just saying that if NASA, through the federal government, only gets $19 billion out of our pocket to spend to do all these wondrous and miraculous things, and I got a team of smart people saying, you know, for only $3 billion more, we could do all of this stuff that, as we're about to talk about, is going to get canceled, and we're spending as a nation $587 billion on gambling, then to me, our priorities are wrong. Our priorities are screwed up. And there's another way that we can go about doing this. All right, well, shoot, that's only one, and I'm only down to about a minute left of this break. Let's talk about commercial space. I don't think they're too inexperienced. I think there's a lot of commercial space folks there that can do the job of bringing people up back and forth to space. But there's a lot of what-ifs that go with that, a lot of caveats that go with that. We'll need to talk about those. Money into research and transit and space technology, wonderful idea. Canceling Constellation outright, crazy. Crazy. Because I think we still need the goal of going to the moon. I think we still need the goal of going to the Mars. And if this hardware isn't right, then don't throw out Constellation. Let's figure out what the right hardware is. We're going to talk some more about this with the space policy expert, Marcia Smith, when we come back after this short break. This is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Banky, and you're listening to WMMB.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
And welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. 321-768-1240 is the number to call to join us today with your questions or comments. Once again, you can send email to us if you prefer at spacetalking@AOL.com. Send it to spacetalking@AOL.com. And we're beginning to get a lineup of email here, which is just great. Well, we want to keep talking about NASA's future, and I think there's no better person to do it to give us perhaps an objective look, perhaps a very unique look, and certainly a studied and experienced look at what's been proposed. Marcia Smith is president of the Space and Technology Policy Group in Arlington, Virginia. She is a longtime veteran space policy expert who has worked for the National Research Council and for many years the Congressional Research Service, where I was a big fan back in my reporting days. Whenever we needed to know exactly kind of what was happening and what was being proposed, the Congressional Research creates these reports for the lawmakers that are written, dare I say it, to their level, and we'll just keep it at that, and very objective, and laid it all out, and was great stuff to have, and actually a great source of immediate history, too, years later to read these reports. It's kind of interesting to see what we were thinking and talking about. Marcia Smith joins us from Virginia. Good afternoon, Marcia.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, great. Are you snowed in where you're at, by the way, real quick?
I have shoveled out, and I'm hoping I don't have to shovel any more this winter.
Don't you hate it when you shovel out, and then right as you're ready to leave, the snowplow comes through,
yeah,
and you got to do it again?
Too true.
Well, look, you've been watching this, as I have, for many years, and you've watched it at the national level. Have we been here before? Is this the same old in terms of deciding where NASA's going and how we're going to get there?
Well, in many respects, I think it is, but this certainly is a more dramatic change for NASA than I've experienced in my almost 40 years of following the agency. But the part of it that's deja vu all over again is that ever since the space station decision in 1984, NASA and the country have been going back and forth and back and forth over what the next path forward should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been through the National Aerospace Plane, the Space Exploration Initiative, X-33, the Space Launch Initiative, the Orbital Space Plane, and now Constellation. And I think that one of the challenges that NASA is going to have is convincing Congress that this time they have the right program.
Well, and is it convincing Congress, and what about the space community? I mean, I, after the vision came out, it seemed like we were handed what we wanted on a silver platter, and no one could agree on what to do next or with what rocket or with what hardware or what destination.
Well, I think with the Constellation program, Mike Griffin came out with an architecture that was pretty much going along, and people criticize it now for being overcost and behind schedule. But, of course, NASA was not given the financial resources that it had been promised to execute that program. And one of the concerns this time is that the same thing may happen all over again. I think it's pretty much up in the air as to what Congress is going to do with NASA's new plan. But whatever they decide this year, that doesn't mean that next year the Obama administration will request the level of budget they're promising, or the Congress will appropriate it. These things are all done on a year-by-year basis, and something that sounds really good one year may all fall apart the next.
Well, and certainly with whatever, whoever occupies the White House in 2012 could do a 180-degree turn as well.
Or even in 2016. These programs take a long time to execute, and Constellation, I don't refer to it yet in the past tense because Congress hasn't decided on it, but if it were to come to an end, it would have lasted 6 years, I guess, from 2004 to 2010. But it takes a lot longer to execute a program. So even if President Obama were reelected and this new plan was executed and he left in 2016, then you might again have another relook at it. I think that there's just a weariness about trying to determine what the next stage of human spaceflight should be. There have just been so many attempts, turning them on, turning them off, and it's tough to know why one should believe in this one any more than all the previous ones.
Well, and that, certainly that's one of my frustrations, a lot of people's frustrations. Our shelves are filled with reports. You helped write Pioneering the Space Frontier. I helped testify it as a youngster. You know, there's been any number of other suggestions and studies and commissions, And don't we just need to go out there? I mean, where's the disconnect here that we can't figure out what to do next? We need to leave Earth, low Earth orbit. What's the difficulty, do you think, in trying to figure out why it's so hard to do what that from there?
Well, I do think it all boils down to money, as most things do.
Yeah.
And I guess the Obama administration looked at how much Constellation was going to cost and decided that they did not want to allocate the resources for that, so they've come up with this other plan, and they're hoping that the commercial sector is going to bail them out, basically. But I think that we've also been through this a couple times with the commercial sector, and things have not worked out. The Evolved Expendable Launch Vehicle Program, EELV, was going to be a government-private sector partnership where there are going to be fixed-price contracts, and Boeing and Lockheed Martin did, in fact, invest their own money, just like the companies would be doing this time around.
Mm-hmm.
But when the market, the commercial market, never developed, then the companies, not surprisingly, came back to the government asking to go back to cost-plus contracts and more money for the launches.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there are shades of the past in this decision. It's just it's such a dramatic change all at once. The Augustine Committee spent about 3 months deliberating, and then it took them a little bit longer than it was supposed to get their final report out, but it came out in October, and here it is, February 1st. They came up with this dramatic new change, and one does have to wonder how well thought out all of this has been. Mm-hmm. Even Charlie Bolden is saying that they still need to put the meat on the bones of this program. And it would seem that if the country is going to, it's not really abandoning human spaceflight, it's abandoning NASA as the government agency that conducts human spaceflight and hoping that the private sector can take it over, that such a change like that really may deserve more consideration than it's had so far.
And turning it over to private industry, that's the part that's still getting me, because clearly, Rockwell, now Boeing, built the shuttle orbiter. You know, these companies built these rockets and fly them with government money and government oversight. But the expertise for that hardware and that operation does reside in these commercial companies. So if NASA gives them the money to fly, then I don't see why they can't do it. But the other part of this, and you mentioned it already, is the market. Can these companies invest their own money thinking there's a market for this beyond just NASA? And I'm not so sure yet we have that market.
And again, I see no reason why entrepreneurial companies or the more traditional commercial companies, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, can't, on a commercial basis, develop a safe and reliable human space transportation system.
Yeah.
The question really is, can they do it for less cost than what the government was going to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the government, we taxpayers, have already spent $9 billion
right.
on Constellation, and NASA needs $2.5 billion more to terminate it. So that's $11.5 billion sunk investment in Constellation
mm-hmm.
that the country would be walking away from in the hope that these other companies are going to be able to build a system in less time and at less cost. And I think that the real question is not whether or not they can do it. It's just whether or not can they do it in less time at less cost.
Yeah. And it just doesn't, that part of it seems to be so just wrong, or at least common sense tells you it's not quite right. But so Marcia, where do you think we ought to be heading next? I mean, if you were to write your policy right now with all that you know and your experience, what should be our next steps?
Well, if you mean beyond low Earth orbit?
Yeah.
I think, you know, the moon and Mars have been there forever. That's what everybody talks about, the National Commission on Space, and I thank you for the plug for that report. That was finished in 1986. It seems impossible. It's been so many years
since
then.
Yeah, a long time.
And they talked about a return to the moon and going on to Mars. I think one of the debates is, are you going to the moon to set up a base and stay there and then go on to Mars, or are you really just sort of touching down there to test some technologies and then moving right out to Mars?
Mm-hmm.
And that continues to be controversial within the space community. And now, of course, the Augustine Committee has brought up the idea that you don't actually land on either the moon or Mars. You stay in free space and you visit their orbits and you visit asteroids in places like that because it's easier to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that in the public imagination, there is still some attraction to actually landing on Mars. That may fade over time as virtual reality gets better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that ultimately it'll be robotic probes feeding back into virtual reality helmets here on Earth as the way that we explore that planet. I just don't know what the future is going to hold.
Wow, that's incredible. So, are you, and with just about 30 seconds left, March, are you optimistic, pessimistic, amazed? I mean, how do you describe what your sense of the space program today?
Oh, I think I'm surprised that such a dramatic change would come out so abruptly, not announced by the president himself, but by the NASA folks and the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And I think that it's quite a surprise to the members of Congress who now have to consider it. And usually if you want people to agree with you, you try not to surprise them so dramatically.
Yeah, that's just incredible. Of course, Charlie Bolton admitted that maybe he went about it the wrong way and is trying to put some bones on the meat, or some meat on the bones, as it were. But
arguably it should have been the White House, not NASA.
Oh, yeah, in a big speech that says, here's what I want to do and here's my vision and let me cast it for you. That's leadership and management 101. I mean, forget
right.
Which party you belong to. That's just basic leadership.
Right.
So, well, Marcia, thanks for getting on the phone with us today. We got more to talk about in the future, and I'm sure we'll have you back and keep up with your website, spacepolicyonline.com, right?
Yes, indeedy.
All
I
right.
Hope everybody stops by for a visit.
Good. Thanks, Marcia. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just after this five-minute built-in hold. We're going to have Congresswoman Suzanne Cosmos take her measure of the NASA program and where we're headed in space. This is Jim Banky. You're listening to Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance. This is WMMB.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Banky.
And welcome back to this second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Again, 321-768-1240 is the number to call to get us you into the studio here from anywhere in the nation. Star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast, and by email, spacetalking@aol.com. Through the week, I want to remind you, you can follow any developments in the program by subscribing to our Twitter feed. Our username is spacetalking. And at any time, you can go to the WMMB homepage, WMMBAM.com, keywords Space Talk, and find out what's going on in our show there. Catch some links to guests we've had, books that we've talked about, interesting websites, and an occasional update on what's going on in the world of space. All that on WMMBAM.com. Again, keyword Space Talk. All right, well, we're going to go for the second half of my voice holding out here, and so this is not the quality of your radio. It is the quality of your host today, and we want to welcome on the line with us Congresswoman Susan Cosmos. Congresswoman Cosmos, good to talk to you again.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
Good. I forgot to ask, where are you at today?
Well, I have been up at the Daytona International Speedway today for the race.
Oh, good.
It's also included in my Florida 24th Congressional District. So,
right.
As I like to say, I have the Kennedy Space Center and the International Speedway. A lot of vehicular activity.
That's right. The two loudest things Florida makes is the Speedway and the shuttle launch.
And fastest, maybe.
And fastest, I've been told. And I'm not a big NASCAR fan. I'll admit it to it. And, of course, you know, we're coming off our football season. But I've been told that NASCAR is like you watch it, it's like watching a shuttle launch for 3 hours. It's just powerful and loud and crazy. And
well, it's the fastest growing sport in America.
That's,
so
that's great.
For whatever reason, others are attracted to it. And obviously, it's in my congressional district, and I'm excited to see Danica Patrick.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's move on to let's talk about the south
okay.
end of your district at the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah.
You know, the news has been tough, and the day that the budget came out, your statement came out. You know, confirming fears about the plans for NASA, the proposal from the president lacks a bold vision. You know, I mean,
yeah.
We immediately got the sense that this is going to be a weird deal. I mean, you're a Democrat, he's a Democrat. We got Republicans against things that are very Republican. We got Democrats that are against things that are very Democratic. We got engineers and scientists and lay people. And I mean, no one seems to be able to have the big picture here. And I'm wondering, is the dust beginning to settle at all in Washington? Do you have any sense where this is all going to go in terms of Congress?
Well, I do have the sense that there is a bipartisan group of my colleagues and myself who are very interested in ensuring that what was presented by the president is not the final deal on what's going to happen in space exploration.
Right.
As I said before, I'm finding it extremely unacceptable that the vision has been missing, and that manned space exploration, human space exploration, is, if we go down the path led by his budget, mm-hmm. we will see a decade or more of no ability to get to the space International Space Station, which, of course, I'm pleased that they have asked for that to be a continuing priority from 2015, when it was supposed to end, to 2020.
Right.
I'm also pleased and a supporter of commercial transportation. But
yep.
in the interim, I think we are seriously going to approach alternatives to what was proposed in the budget, and those alternatives, I believe, will provide a direction so that our workforce, our highly skilled workforce in Central Florida at the Space Coast, will have a motivation to stay in the area and to continue with their great work and continue to inspire generations to come for all that space exploration has done for us for the last 50 years can continue.
So now, in more specific terms, and this is based on a question we got on email here, spacetalking@AOL.com from Ed in Daytona Beach, actually one of your constituents in Volusia County, and the theme of the question basically is: are you and your colleagues basically looking to put Constellation back? I mean, is Constellation and human space exploration the same? Are we saying, well, let's put a vision back? Let's maybe keep calling it Constellation, but maybe let's go look at the hardware again. Maybe Ares 1 isn't the right deal. Maybe an Ares 2 or an Ares 3 version is something. I mean,
and I think that's true. I believe that all of that is on the table. And it doesn't matter to me what you call it. It doesn't matter to me necessarily whether you say the moon is the destination. What matters to me is that we have a clear vision that leads, as we have led for the last 50 years, the human space exploration, and provides us the opportunity to get all the great benefits economically, national security-wise, and as I said before, inspiring the next generation to be interested in science and technology and engineering. This will be 21st century jobs, I believe, in this country are going to be focused very heavily on these particular fields. And in order to get people to feel excited about them, there needs to be an inspiration, and I believe that manned space exploration does that.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like in the current proposal. I mean, there's a lot of great things, as you said. You know, the research and technology emphasis is great. The emphasis on commercial folks is great, which begs some questions we'll ask in a second. But it does miss that sense of vision, that sense of, you know, that puts it all together as you look up on the star and say, someday we're going to go there. You know,
right.
I think we can still say that, but now it's like, well, but we really don't have anything definitely
there. Yeah,
we don't
know how we're going to get there or what the destination is or the vision for getting there is. And,
yeah.
I think what we know as elected people is that the American psyche is very attached to our leadership in
right.
space
oh, yeah.
exploration, and we have been for a long time. And what we know is that if we do not take the lead, we are ceding forever and ever, or the foreseeable future at least, our ability to continue to be the leaders in exploration. And this is, you know, the last frontier. It's easy for other countries that are nipping at our heels to surpass us in a field that I think, as I said before, mm-hmm. Provides inspiration and technology that are the most significant 21st century advances that we will see.
Yeah, you know, you talk about American leadership, and you know, let me ask you about taking seats on the Russian Soyuz. You know, it seemed to make sense. It was international partners and we had the shuttle. Now that we're relying on it, perhaps for a long time, and as we deal with the commercial thing, and it kind of leaves us, I mean, we're relying on the Russians, and I think the Russians are fine. This is not an anti-Soviet Union kind of thing, but I did have a conversation with a friend, Dick Hallion, the other day. Dick Hallion, congresswoman, is a former chief historian for the Air Force, well-known among space policy circles and space historian circles, and he basically says he wonders now who actually won the space race. I mean, if this is the direction we're going to take and how we're going to get there, it makes you wonder who won the space race. Look at who we're flying
And I think the unfortunate thing is that since the moon to Mars vision was announced by President Bush, that NASA and Kennedy Space Center have been trying to run two parallel programs while funding has not been sufficient for making that happen. And this was the clear consensus in the Augustine Commission report that in order for us to continue to play a part in a robust space exploration, we had to increase the budget. But the budget alone, without telling us, you know, of course, the budget recommended by the president doesn't have sufficient funding in it. But even if it did, if it were left with this lack of specificity, lack of destination, mm-hmm. lack of innovation, we wouldn't be accomplishing very much at all. So we are very concerned about it. And as I said, there's a large group, bipartisan group, that are coming together, and we're looking at all the options that we think would move us forward in a positive direction.
And as you look at those options, and we've got another less than a minute with you, what's the timeline here? When do we breathe any kind of sigh of relief, if there is relief coming? This summer? Is it going to be this fall? You know, what do you see as the timeline?
Well, one of the things that's most of most concern to us is the fact that NASA has taken the steps to cancel the contracts that it had put out for bid for Constellation and Orion, and we have invested a great deal in the Orion development, and we were depending upon this program to create jobs. Now we're having, here in the year 2010, cancellation of bids for things that would have moved us forward and retained a number of jobs on the coast. So we're going to insist that some recognition of the fact that while the administration can make a proposal, my members, my colleagues and I will come together and decide whether we are willing to go along with that or whether we intend to put some parameters of our own on it. And I think you will find that we are going to make some very specific suggestions.
Good. Congresswoman Susan Cosmos, thanks for being on the line with us. We'll talk with you more again back in a few seconds.
You bet. Thank you.
Talk to you again. We'll be back in just a moment.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
And Jim Behnke here as we begin our final segment of today's Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance, and we're going to get right into it. Joining us now from within the district, traveling between events here on a busy weekend, is our own Congressman Bill Posey. Congressman Posey, good to have you back on the show, sir.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Good. Well, it's been a rough couple of weeks. Let me get your take on just right now, what's your mood like in terms of NASA's future, and how are things going in general?
Well, if you look at what the president's doing, you could tend to look at the glass half empty, but I think what he's doing is illegal, and we've gone on record with that. We're challenging him, and we'll just have to wait to see what happens. I think he's violated the legislation that was passed that said he does not have the right to unilaterally cancel contracts, which he appears to be doing.
Yeah, and your release came out on that, and I've seen the letter, and I'm beginning to wonder, I don't want to say if this is going to get nasty, but are we ready to go to court? Are there injunctions? I mean, what's the What are your remedies here to make sure this happens or doesn't happen?
Well, my hope is that he will realize he has been badly advised or whatever and just will recede from that position and go by the intent of Congress.
And as we do that, and as on a similar vein, you know, we've talked with you about and your staff about a desire to continue to fly the shuttle, and there's still some folks out at the Space Center, and I got an email here today from a David, a KSC worker, who also is considering and suggesting that we turn space shuttles over to private industry to continue to let them fly while we go develop something else. Is that at all still on the table here as a possibility?
I don't know. I mean, I love commercial, and I want to see commercial prosper there. I've been working for 30 years, 27 as a elected legislator, to remove the red tape and the added non-productive costs that the government adds on to the private sector with their commercial launches. And I'm a big advocate of commercial launches, but I think space exploration should be led by the government. You know, there's no profit in space exploration for commercial industry. I mean, there just isn't. I mean, why would, you know, Lockheed or Boeing or anybody want to send a man to the moon on their own? They wouldn't want to do it. And when we look at this low Earth orbit commercial rocketry, we're basically looking at contractors for the federal government to do that. So it's still a federal program, even though they're commercial, if they're shuttling astronauts back and forth to the space station in low Earth orbit. But we need to be, as always, first in space. We need to be continuing exploration, which is what the president has turned away from. I need not remind you of his promise to the Space Coast that he would close the gap between shuttle and Constellation and keep America first in space. Now, he has not only failed to close the gap, he's made the gap perpetual by canceling Constellation, which is just an untruth. Is that a nice way to say it? I mean, you say you're going to do one thing, and you do absolutely the complete, total opposite.
And, of course, he wound up doing exactly what he said he would do at the beginning of his campaign, and then he got told not to say that anymore and then went back on both promises. So I don't know how you do a double flip-flop, but that certainly was the case. And of course, Congressman Posey, not only was it just – we always thought it was kind of be just the Ares One. In other words, Constellation would survive, but you might have just a little different makeup of hardware. You'd go back to the drawing board on what kind of vehicles you might use. But to shut down things like Orion, to shut down things like any planning for Ares 5, I mean, that really hurts the Kennedy Space Center in a way that we hadn't anticipated.
Well, it hurts the national security as well. I mean, if he'd have said, hey, I think we need to see about doing Constellation and putting Orion up using an Atlas or a Delta IV or whatever. I mean, I'm negotiable about that. But to cancel the program, and as far as the people that are going around, I mean, I just got an email earlier today from who said, you're a fool, Posey. The shuttle's too dangerous to fly. Bolden even said that. Those things were designed to do 100 flights. The one that left here the other day is on its like the 28th or 29th flight. So don't give me that bunch of baloney. I mean, that they're unsafe. The Augustine report said they're, you know, they're the most reliable space vehicles there are.
Yeah.
When you look at it as a percentage. So that absolutely doesn't hold water. And you know, I've tried not to be angry about this matter, but you can't help but get angered by it. I mean, I've held my temper here and tried to do things by protocol, go through all the proper channels, but I see the other side doing just the opposite. I mean, they've violated and transgressed the statutory law, the intent and law of Congress. There's things that they're just not supposed to do that they're doing to kill the space program, and it's not good for the United States of America. Of course, it's not good for my district, or Congresswoman Cosmos's district, and she's in this thing with me, and I'm in it with her, whatever, 100%. It's a bipartisan effort, but we've got to do whatever it takes to stop it, and I'm committed to doing whatever it takes to fight this regime that's going to dismantle our space exploration program.
Well, and you're right about the emotions getting up, and there are time. There are pieces of this that just make me just want to just do flips in anger. And parts of this, I can't believe we're going to get to do it. but it's not all coming together into one coherent vision. And part of the argument that I just can't stand, people are saying, well, it's all about jobs. It's all about votes. Well, of course you want votes, and that's the way the game's played. But jobs, it's not just about jobs. It's about doing a job of keeping America up front and exploring space, and that's how you do it. People go to work and do that job. It's not about
But let's talk about jobs for a minute. And I prefer to talk about the national implications and the national security and the leaders in technology. I mean, I'd like to have everybody read mandatory reading President Kennedy's speech in 1962 when he talked about going to the moon. But just back to talking about jobs for a minute. What is the number one crisis in this nation right now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's jobs and the economy. He passed this rinky-dink stimulus that has not worked. Geithner promised Congress, if they voted for it, if they are stupid enough to vote for this, that the jobless rate would not go over 8%. Nationally, it's over 10%. In Brevard County, it's probably 12%. Osceola County is probably 14-16%. Ditto in Indian River County. Now, for 1%, just 1% of that stimulus money, we could fly the shuttle another 5 years.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of jobs across the United States of America.
Right.
High-paying jobs. You know, not a guy that holds a road sign that's a stop and go.
Right.
That they consider a job, and not a child care worker who got a raise.
Right.
With the stimulus money, but good jobs that produce technology. That encourage people to go into engineering and science. I mean, we've got a shortage of engineers, an acute shortage of engineers in at the present time in the immediate future of this country. We're training, 10% of the number of engineers that we need?
Yeah.
And half those are foreign, and we expect them to go back to their country of origin. And meanwhile, the Chinese are training and graduating 10 times more engineers than us,
and that
is not a healthy end game.
And that's just crazy. And we're now at this point, we're out of time. And I appreciate the energy and the fire, Congressman Posey. We need to have you back on again, talk some more about this. This is a topic we'll continue to talk about next week. 48th anniversary of John Glenn's launch next week, so it's going to be an interesting time and an interesting backdrop. Space Talk brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Behnke, and you're listening to WMMB. Have a great week.